Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. You alright?
Yeah, morning.
We're alright.
Hiya.
Morning.
We're sat in a freshly painted house.
Yeah, we're back in our own house
it's
now.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I quite like that smell. You know, like that sort of like toxic paint smell.
Do you think it smells like paint? Because we were thinking, actually, has he used a low odour paint? Because when we came back, it wasn't very...
To be fair, it doesn't really smell that much of paint, but it just it has that feel to it.
You can smell it a bit. Don't feel bad about saying that.
No, but it's not overpowering, but it's just nice and fresh.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
It's new. It's the newness.
Do you like the smell of petrol when you're in a garage? I quite like that smell.
I don't hate it.
Like a fumey petrol smell.
Yeah, but a lot of people say that is one of those things that you're not meant to.
Breathing it in.
Have you got the thing about the cotton wool phobia?
I hate cotton wool.
Oh, I hate cotton wool.
Do we have the same phobia?
It's horrendous. I can only get the pads.
I get the I flat pads, and when they're wet, they're better. Ugh. But I hate polystyrene as well.
Cotton
if someone's like
worst,
unboxing a TV, I can't be in the same room as them. You unbox that TV on your own.
So, until Friday.
We've lost it.
Great content this morning, guys.
Yeah, well, it's a bit confusing because last week ended with a dinner party, as is traditional, and then this week started with a commitment ceremony, but then we've gone straight into another dinner party.
I know, so it was quite full on, wasn't it?
It's bamboozling.
Very,
but there's part of me that would want every episode to be a dinner party.
Yeah.
Actually, no, commitment ceremony, dinner party. Yeah. Commitment ceremony, dinner party.
Yeah.
Skip the Sky Suites.
Well, obviously, there's a lot to talk about. I think this episode's going to be a bit longer because there is, even though there's fewer couples now.
Yeah.
They're up to loads of shits and giggles, so we've got lots to talk about. There's fewer of them, but they're just as chaotic as if there were 12 couples.
Yeah. Unexpected bombshell.
Well, let's start pre-commitment ceremony. Mm-hmm. We saw Jaden and Eden. I think it was still the same argument they were having from 3 days prior, just going round and round in circles.
It was quite cold, wasn't it?
But Jaden says they don't go round in circles, so there you go.
Oh, dear. I mean, he was just literally contradicting everything she said.
But he also does have a point. It's like, I said this in the previous episode, generally I'm on Eden's side.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have a point that she will, when he makes his point, she'll just go, oh, okay then. And like, what do you do with that? That's
It's quite hard. It's quite, isn't it a bit of a stagnant place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just feel, I don't know why I've got a soft spot for him. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I think it's because he looks like he tries so hard. Like, he doesn't get it right, necessarily.
Yeah.
But he really looks like he cares. Do you know what I mean? And some of the guys look so unbothered by their partners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Jono, like Jack, like whoever will come, like Timothy.
Ben.
There's been so many men that they can't bother to lift a finger. And I feel like Jaden doesn't get it right, but at least he puts in a bit of legwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
He tries.
Yeah,
God love him, as my grandma would say. He tries, God love him.
One of our earliest episodes, well, it would have been their wedding. You were so keen on
Jaden. Well, because he described himself as like a puppy, didn't he? And like, he's like, oh, if you like Labradors, you're going to love me.
Well, she likes Golden Retrievers.
Yeah, sorry, Golden Retrievers. I don't know my dogs very well. If you like Shih Tzus, he's always been like relatively lovable. Obviously, there was that hiccup with the whole like revenge sex thing, which was weird, but I think he's got something about him.
I know he says he's trying, but again, is it just one of those things of he knows the language to say, is he actually trying, is he actually listening?
Well, I don't know, because there's all this stuff that's apparently gone on behind the scenes where he's been like lavishing her with flowers and trying to like make the bed into whatever he was doing. Like, there was all these little things that were mentioned which we haven't seen on camera, so that to me feels like he is trying, because it's not just for show, it's not just when the producers are there.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, I feel like he is.
Yeah.
But what do we know?
We don't know. We know nothing.
We only know what we're told.
But it does seem to me like he is sort of, I'm okay in this, I'm right. You're the one that's shutting things down. Something's changed, and it's because now I'm saying what I'm feeling and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something changed, because more to do with the whole Sarah and Tim situation than to do with him starting to say how he's feeling, and he seems to have forgotten all of that and how difficult that was for Eden. So I think he's just too stuck in his position.
Well, as John said, for you it's a boxing match. You have to be right and she has to be wrong. And that's more important to him than taking into account her feelings, and he sees that as a loss if they're not, like, I sort of get it, his mentality of like, it is a kind of sports mentality, isn't it?
Totally.
Of like, we need to do this to progress and succeed.
And I guess especially with boxing, if you just keep going,
eventually you're
going to win.
How has he got to this stage in life and not heard the old adage, happy wife, happy life? Because that would solve all his problems.
But maybe that is why he buys flowers all the time.
True.
That's what he thinks it is.
And then did we also see the like breadcrumb before the commitment ceremony started? Oh no, this is before the commitment ceremony.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is this when we started to see hints that one groom had been messaging
yes,
a bride?
We saw Tori saying that she had this information that gave her a feeling
who
of
gave
euphoria.
Her that?
A euphoric feeling.
Who gave her that information,
terrible.
Though? She's not friends with Ellie.
It must have been because it sort of came up at the dinner party. We're going to be jumping all over the place with this stuff. So.
As usual.
We saw at the dinner party that she said that Jack had told her that him and Jono were talking in the gym, where I wonder if they ever do any fucking training in this gym or just gossip about wife swapping. But that Jono had said, I wish I'd been matched with Elliot, words to that
right.
effect.
And I've been messaging her.
Yeah, probably. So this is Jono's told Jack, Jack's told Tori, and then...
Oh, you think that's just where it's come
so
from?
So that's just probably. Thick of Jono.
Yeah.
I felt more that like an outsider from the experiment had contacted Tori.
Yeah, I wondered that.
And
possibly,
I didn't know if it was like a middleman between her and Ellie, or Ellie herself, or a producer. I'm such a cynic this season, because I'm like, has a producer told her, we've heard that they've been messaging, you have to bring it up at the dinner party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I turning into such a cynic? And then also I felt like there was foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
I love using words like I feel like I'm in my GCSE English exam.
Media
foreshadowing
studies.
Because Lauren, we don't really hear Lauren talk loads about her exes, but in this episode she mentioned about having been let down before.
Yeah,
we didn't know at this point which groom it was, but that was foreshadowing that it was going to be Jono, wasn't it? That was quite like
full on
foreshadowing. I've said foreshadowing
five shadowing.
Oh, the comedian. Because she hasn't really talked about those betrayals, and then she mentions the betrayals, and then quickly we find out that he is a betrayer.
Sticking to that pre-commitment ceremony, getting ready bit, because they didn't suggest who it was at that point, if I remember rightly.
I don't think so.
Because Claire watching it was like, oh, I hope it's not Jade and Ridge or anything like that. Yeah, was your first thought? Yeah.
Only because they showed in like the preview thing, they showed Jade properly in tears on the commitment ceremony couch. And I thought, oh no, that would be a shocker if it was Ridge.
That would be horrible.
That would be awful.
I'm relieved it's not.
But it's not.
Did your mind go to Lauren and Jonah?
No, I mean, can I be honest?
Yeah.
I knew a spoiler that he had been messaging Ellie.
Right, okay.
And annoyingly, I knew it from like 6 weeks ago. So it's been really, really, really annoying because every time I felt like Lauren and Jono were going somewhere, I knew it had an end date. Mm-hmm. I knew it had a sell-by date. So I've been pissed off at myself of my own algorithm because Instagram's like, you look like you'd enjoy maths. I'm like,
Here's a million spoilers.
Only today's episode. Nothing in the future, please. Yeah. And so I knew that he'd be messaging Ellie. So annoyingly, yes, I knew exactly what... That's why I noticed that foreshadowing. Yeah. Because I saw her talk about her betrayals. Then I was like, oh, this is where we must find out about Jono.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's pissed me off because Jono's been playing into... We'll come to this, but Jono's been playing into that nice guy trope. That like, oh, I'm not like your usual boyfriends. I'm a nice guy. And then when the nice guy lets you down, you're like, well, who's left?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's come back to them because they were kind of the end of the... Yeah. End of the episode. So first up were Jaden and Eden. Yes. And I thought for me that was kind of perfect maths commitment ceremony stuff because it was a proper relationship issue. Jaden was being childish, which Mel called him, which was just excellent TV. The intervention from the experts was really useful and insightful. I thought it was all good stuff. It was like the right balance of drama, insight, entertainment. Yeah. It was really good.
It was.
And Eden looked so relieved by the time, you know, it got through that whole play out because if we roll back to the previous commitment ceremony, she was sort of hung out to dry a little bit from what I remember. He told his story first about her giving him the ultimatum and it didn't feel like she was backed. And then with this one, she looked so relieved that the experts were backing her or at least hearing her side.
Yeah.
And saying to Jaden, this isn't really on. Mm-hmm. She looked so relieved.
I know. Because they literally saw him do it as well.
Yes.
They saw him literally disagree with everything she said. Like, I feel like I don't get heard. Well, I disagree, you do.
I know.
Right, then, great. So then at least they could see it in action. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm dealing with.
And the irony of someone being like, oh, we just argue all the time. No, we don't. It's like, you're proving my point, you nutter.
Yeah, I think I'm not the only one to say that. I definitely think he turned up on the couch expecting them to go, Eden, come on, to be on his side.
He looked really
shaken. Thought he was in the right, completely.
Yeah. He looked rattled.
Yeah,
yeah, it was
a rattlesnake.
When he was being childish, he's like, is this where I get to say how I feel?
Or am I
going to be told off? And
am I going to be told I'm wrong?
Yeah, or am I allowed to say how I feel? It was funny that he properly... And it was a perfect example of like, yeah, you can't take the feedback. This, again, proves Eden's point. Yeah.
I find it such a funny power dynamic on that couch because it does take me back to school as like whatever the teacher says is right, you've got to be respectful. But everyone's an adult in that room.
Yeah.
And obviously Mel, John, Alessandra, they've got way more life experience. They're there as experts. But it's adult to adult, but you feel like you've got to be like, okay, sir, I will do everything you just said. Mm. Yes, boss.
Yeah. Tristan used to say, didn't he? Yes,
and boss. It's a really funny dynamic. And I'm thinking about when John said to Tori, are you for real? And she went, am I for real? Like, she answered back. I'm like, you answer back to the teacher.
I know.
Yeah.
How dare you? But they are adults. They're allowed to give back their response. And Jaden sounded really rude, but he's allowed to say what he wants to say. I don't know, it's just a funny little dynamic.
You're totally right. It's like we're earlier in the series when Collins went back at Joe.
Yes,
and it was quite accurately identified as deflecting from what the actual issue was. Mm-hmm. But it's so rare that they go back at the experts.
Feels like they're breaking some sort of rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The power down, it's like... not quite the same, but like we've been to the vets today. It's like when you're dealing with a receptionist. You know, I better be deferential to the receptionist.
Yeah, yeah. She just practically took my phone out of my hands. Yes, that's what I need. My phone was gone. I was like, I'm doing it.
They hold all the power.
Don't read my messages.
About you. No. But I was glad that Mel said about... He basically just missed out listening as part of communication, didn't he? So when she said over communicate, he took that as like over talk. Just talk at Eden and she will hear you. So I was glad that she said, look, maybe it's more about over-listening than it is about over-communicating, because I didn't see any evidence of empathic listening last night.
Active listening. It was good. It was, and I think, productive.
Really productive. Well, it seemed to flick a little switch round of them softening on the couch and Eden starting to smile and relax, and you're like, oh, this has a fighting chance again. Because sometimes you're like, this, how are they going to bring this back round? If you're thinking of yourselves as like opponents. It's amazing on that sofa how it can go from 0 to 100 and back.
I mean, I think, because then the dinner party where he was sat and he was waiting to say, I love you. Oh, look, I think it was a mistake to say
that.
Oh, no, did you? I loved it.
I like that.
Because he was like, I've been thinking about it. I wanted to do it for ages.
Yeah.
And he got all the whoops and cheers. Why did you hate it, Omar? The Grinch.
Because I think, like you've just said, it's gone from 0 to 100, then back again. It's stalled, it's restarted. It's like the next day, come on. Like,
but in fairness to them, what's been really sweet is they've always been holding hands all the way through. They've always tried to, like, they've always said, I really want to be with you. How can we sort this out?
Yeah.
I see you in my future. I don't think they've ever said, like, I mean, I know she said, I just want to leave, but I think Claire was right when she meant the experiment, not him.
Yeah.
Because when she gets tearful, she's like, I don't want to lose you. I don't. Yeah. And so I actually think it does feel up and down, but there's been some sort of consistency with how they've sort of wanted to hold on to each other.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he, credit to him for not staying in that defensive position on the couch. So he was being defensive with the experts, wasn't he? Like, are you going to tell me I'm wrong now? Can I talk now? But then he was able to sort of drop that and actually connect with Eden and figure out what they're going to do with each other. So he was like vulnerable then. So I think having dropped the defences, it makes sense to then progress from there. And if he's asked how he felt, why not say it?
I wonder how much it plays into his mind that his brother, quote unquote, like, failed at the experiment and he wants to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So there's a kind of battle going on there.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting situation that we maybe haven't had before, of like, one brother's been on, he's been quite a big player. We remember Mitch. He didn't make it to, or they made it to final rounds. But like, How different does Jaden want to play it? And actually, Mitch admitted that he didn't listen enough to the experts. Interesting.
True.
Who was next on the sofa? Was it Ridge and Jade?
It was Ridge and Jade, which, one little side note about Ridge and Jade. While Ridge was explaining his plan for making long-distance relationship work, they cut to Tori and Jack, and she was nodding and smiling at what he was saying, and Jack was just looking off in the middle distance, totally not taking any of it.
Not bothered. Jack is the least bothered person.
Yeah, whereas Ridge is going, I'm going to come up this number of times, and when I come, we're going to, while I'm there, we're going to plan when I'm coming next. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, this is perfect.
That's what you need to hear, because I know actions speak louder than words, but sometimes if words are a bit more detailed and you can tell some thoughts gone into it, like, well, actually, that sounds like he means it. And then he said, I only see you.
I know.
I wrote that bit down. I only see you. Like, that's what girls want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he did very well.
Everyone loves him. There's a nice bit where Mel was just clearly like, oh, they're really cute.
I know.
He does a good job at reassuring her, doesn't he?
He's very endearing. Even when he screws up, he sort of pulls it back. And when he screws up, it's not even that bad. It's just him being a little bit reactive or childish. Like, you know, the things he
bravado,
says.
Yeah,
it's never like, malicious.
You said
cruel. He's not cruel to her. He just says things that are more make him look an idiot. He doesn't necessarily.
And then she feels embarrassed.
But you said it might be a nervous thing, which was, I thought, a good observation.
Yeah, because there was one point he was talking to the camera, wasn't he? And he was sort of all of a sudden just like picking it up, but also
thunder
doing
from
the,
down under and all this sort of stuff.
Beast from the east or whatever. But also doing this like funny little giggling in the middle.
I said this to Johnny. Sometimes he rushes through his joke.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's not gonna land.
Yeah.
And he's like nervous to get to the end. So he'll say something sincere and then go and then laugh. And then like, I didn't even quite hear what you said.
Yeah.
But I know it must have been rude because you rushed it.
And
I know
then
what
did
you mean. It is
almost
like, it's almost like he's trying to diffuse. Like, if he's too sincere, he has to put a joke at the end.
A bit uncomfortable, maybe. Yeah. And he does it a lot in groups, doesn't he, it seems?
Yeah.
So I just wonder how much of it is sort of playing up to the boys, but also a little bit of feeling uncomfortable, feeling nervous.
He did it at the dinner party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she was so sincere.
Yeah, and he was like, whoa! And then he went, well, if I can't go, whoa, when you've just told me something cute, when can I? He, like, he managed to pull it back in quite a cute way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it's a, like, reactive thing that he's... I'm not saying it's anywhere near Tourette's, but it feels like almost like a tick or like a little reaction. It
comes out in uncomfortable, maybe nervous moments for him, doesn't it?
Again, I'm not diagnosing anyone on this show.
But he pulls it back super quickly, doesn't he?
He's
back down to earth and being really sincere with her again.
Yeah, exactly. Just the dinner party. Every time he's done something immature, as I'm writing the tweet about how immature it is, by the time I finish writing it, he's already redeemed himself by saying something really sincere and caring.
At the dinner party, he said to her, "I'm done, you're it for me." And I do think he'll give a little TED talk to men on lovely things to say, because sometimes he says these things and you're like, yeah, that's what she needs to hear.
Yeah.
She needs that definitive, you're it, I'm done looking, I found you. He's immature, but sometimes there's a maturity in his compliments, in his way to like reassure her. Yeah. He's a very like calming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost like he's, you know, he's this dichotomy.
Oh, he's two big words out today.
Because he is immature, but he's also one of the most mature grooms we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny, isn't it?
I mean, one person he should definitely attend his TED Talk is Tim. Next to on the couch, Tim and Lucinda, because he doesn't really know how to...
I thought you meant Tim.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah. We said this early on, didn't we, that we think they've been... One of them's had to go by Timothy.
I know.
So that they didn't have to use the surnames or whatever. Mm. But
Lucinda calls him Tim.
Tim and Sarah, he should have been Timmy. I reckon he could pull off a Timmy. And then Tim could have just been Tim.
Yeah.
Because Tim's such a straight down the line Aussie bloke. He doesn't need Timothy.
Yeah.
He's a Tim.
Do you think Timothy of Timothy and Lucinda, he doesn't seem like a Timothy or a Tim.
Not at all.
What name do you think he...
Steve
would fit.
Steve's good.
Yeah. Steve or
Mark.
Not Mark. Mark would fit.
Dan. Steve. He'd probably go by one of those Aussie nicknames, like Ringo or something from uni.
Yeah.
Oh, we call him Trucker because this one time he fell asleep in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
Do you know
He'd have to have a Y on the end, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All these Aussie nicknames end in a Y.
And Lucinda said to him, "Sometimes I feel like I'm in a relationship with a brick wall." And I was like, fair enough. I mean, Lucinda wasn't really holding back, was she?
Yeah.
We feel like ever since he stormed off from that picnic, that failed picnic, and he was like, "I don't want to fucking talk about it."
Yeah.
Something's shifted in her.
Yeah.
And she's officially given up on the romance, and she's able to be a little bit more forthright and like, you've let me down in XYZ ways. I deserve more in XYZ ways.
Yeah.
This is where you have failed, but still in a kind way, in an unfair way.
But it was definitely forthright. Like, we got definitive, and a definitive account of how long he was out for. Because she said he left at 5:36,
like 1 a.m.
and didn't come back till 1:30. And he said he'd be an hour. And that's, you know, that's not so bad, really. If he'd sent her a couple of messages or something,
totally.
If he'd sent her one like 2 hours later, saying like, I'm going to be out and we're having a few drinks or whatever.
Mm.
And we had that information that his best mate's dad had died.
Mm.
So he probably was out consoling him out on the piss.
Was it that mate? It might not have even been that mate, but if it was, And Lucinda would never hold that against anyone.
Yeah.
It's the way you frame things. If you frame something to your partner as like, "Do you mind if I do this?" Then they'd probably say, "Yeah, no, of course, thanks for asking."
Yeah.
I mean, we're on homestays. I'm only seeing you for a couple of nights.
Well,
so it's
I think that's the difference, isn't it?
And like, you haven't planned anything for me.
Yeah, that's the big difference. If you're in a relationship and you see each other all the time, then
you're
okay.
You're bloody glad if they go out.
Yeah, go out, have a nice time. But when you're there for two nights only to see this for the first time living together, and then he just buggers off the whole night.
Even if
he'd sent messages, it's not okay.
It's not okay,
it's better, but only marginally.
I was going to say, he did the thing that had annoyed you at the previous dinner party. He did it again on the commitment ceremony where he said, "Yeah, I'm going to have to take some responsibility for
that's weird to me. I don't know if he's just giving himself loads of excuses because he's come straight from his dad's passing away, like his dad dying, but like only to take some responsibility. I'm like, well, what do you think Lucinda's done wrong, bless her?
Yeah.
Very little, if anything. I found it quite sweet where in the commitment ceremony, she was talking about, well, you know, perhaps you've never felt that chemistry with me, Timothy. Mm-hmm. And she was posing. I can't do it on a podcast because I want to do the faces, but she was like, how about now? How about now? And like my heart broke for her, because you can just imagine, like, it's quite humiliating to feel like someone doesn't find you attractive if you find them attractive and you've been put together. Like, that's quite, like... That's quite hard.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine her trying to throw herself in different lights of, like, you know, when they went for that night out with drinks and they ended up in a strip club, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can imagine, like, after they had a few drinks, she's like, I wonder if he fancies me now. Yeah. Or like when she's been really supportive and he gave her that hug.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like, that was so revealing to me of the fact, because she has said all the way through, I've got a crush on you, Tim. And she has found him sexually attractive.
Mm.
And he's never really shown her back, but apart from that one little peck that we all got so excited over.
Yeah.
And she was waiting for him to just wake up and realise what this beautiful... I mean, you can't have chemistry with everybody.
Yeah.
But you wanted him to see that she was this gorgeous...
Yeah.
Like, vivacious, energetic women with so much to give. And I'm like,
well, I mean, I think it's kind of summed up by the way they departed. He just written leave on the card. And she had a poem, which I assume you have a breakdown
of. Well, no, I don't, but I'm sure the poem had a dig halfway through.
Loads of digs.
Loads of digs.
She threw some shade as well.
Rose is the red, violet's the blue. You're a bit of a knobhead. And it's goodbye to you. Like, she just, that's what I mean. Like, she's almost being more forthright now, which I love. Because he needs to hear it.
Yeah.
Especially if at the point where we're at, he's only taking partial responsibility.
I don't know. I know, but by the words he said, I know it sounds like he is only taking partial responsibility, because that is literally what he said.
Yeah. But, let's take him at his word.
But I mean, if that's like he's not really thinking through what he's saying.
Does he need some distance from the experiment? And I wonder if things will start to sink in.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those. I mean, I don't want to defend him, because I'm sort of speculating. It's the same with Jack, who I definitely don't want to defend. But sometimes you say these things, and if you're not already comfortable using that kind of language and talking about emotions and things like that,
you might get a little bit wrong.
You make missteps,
of course.
You know,
and he did say, I pushed Lucinda's positivity to its absolute limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's aware. Obviously, he's aware. He's not stupid. And we do like Timothy.
Yeah. I bet, like, if he'd have been picked up on, like I said, you'd mentioned it about him taking partial responsibility at the previous dinner party. If someone had picked him up in that moment and said, what do you mean partial responsibility? He would have gone, oh, no, it's totally my fault.
Yeah, like 99%. I hope at least.
Yeah.
And then did you see, well, obviously you did, you're watching the same show as me, when Lucinda said to camera, hopefully I've got some students in my DMs who think I'm their cup of tea. And, like, hopefully she does.
And then she said, I'm going to love the shit out of myself after this.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
I mean, she was talking about how the sex... Was that in the poem, how the sex toys had...
Kept me sane. Those beautiful sex toys have kept me sane. She's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, she's just so sex positive, people positive. She's just so positive about everything. Even how gracious she's been to characters like Jack, who don't deserve that.
Yeah.
And even, like, Timothy, when he's really not deserved her kindness, she's been so kind. And I'm like, we need more people like this on TV.
Well, even Tori... And I found Tori's relationship with Timothy interesting, because I think they get on.
Yeah.
Even though they've had it out.
I think they're quite similar in some ways, which is why they've bumped heads, or whatever the expression is, and then they've been able to joke about it.
Yeah.
Almost in a way that blokes argue. You know, like, women, we can be quite, like, hold a grudge, passive aggressive. Tori and Timothy have, like, come at it and then been able to joke. A couple of times.
Well, she has all those male friends.
Well, she sometimes, you know, she's got that energy about her.
Well, before we move off Timothy and Lucinda, because I think they've been my favourite couple in any series of Married at First Sight, because of the story, because he's funny, she's funny, which goes a long way for me on anything. But the journey, him opening up, even though Lucinda didn't get much out of it.
Yeah.
What's been your favourite Timothy-Lucinda moment?
Oh God!
Other than the like, little
bring
peck,
these things on
kiss.
Well, was it? Was it the
no,
kiss?
No, because it felt like too little. I mean, I liked it, but I was like, oh gosh, we're getting so excited over a peck, which I don't think he then immediately looked like he regretted to me.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
What's been my favourite Lucinda and Tim?
Well, I'll tell you mine, because it's unusual. It's not something funny, even though I just said that humour is normally the thing I'm most interested in. It's when he went off at the retreat and then came back and they had that hug. I think it's the only time. I think it was then.
That was gorgeous.
And also the commitment ceremony where he then had to talk about it to the experts. Mm. I think that's the only time watching Maths where I've ever teared up / maybe cried a little.
His heart grew 3 sizes that year. No, I loved that hug. Yeah. And it was so genuine, because it was like from the camera person, I nearly said cameraman, the camera person was almost like chasing him from behind to get into the room to see the moment, wasn't it? Like it was that sort of shot where
so spontaneous.
He'd run back in or come back in. And it was gorgeous, proper like rom-com moment.
Yeah.
Just needed to be like in an airport.
Don't go.
Yeah, no, that was a lovely bit.
Next up, Tori and Jack, who revealed
Sarah and Tim.
Oh.
You always forget Sarah and Tim.
I do.
No matter what, that's at least 4 episodes you've forgotten them.
Yeah,
what do you have against them, Omar?
Well, what is there to say about them this time? What happened with them?
They were all giggly, and
I'm leaving all this in, by the way, because
they were giggly, and I think the group are warming to his decision because they can see that she. I mean, I'm even warming to his decision because I'm like, it does look a bit more like she's properly trying now.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was felt very forced.
Yeah, yeah. They do seem genuine in that there's a lot of physical affection now, which does seem natural, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But part of their time on the couch as well was she said something about. It's going really well, which I'm happy about, but I'm also happy to prove people wrong.
Oh yeah, there's a bit of that.
Well, she was trying to be clever and say my first priority is Tim, but if we happen to prove people wrong,
because
she wanted to make it clear that like I'm only thinking about Tim, but also fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I know what you mean. It does seem more genuine, so it's hard to dislike that, because I can't imagine that's an act that she's putting on now. It does seem quite genuine.
She's almost like warmed up to her own act, because I do think it was forced at first.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you know, like if you fake laugh, you start real laughing.
Mm. Uh-huh.
There you go.
I'll just demonstrate.
And I feel like she's pretended to be the perfect girlfriend. And now she's becoming a better girlfriend just from the fakery.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
The mask becomes the face.
Yeah. So that's my point on that.
There we go.
The mask becomes the face. I used to love that film, The Mask.
I haven't seen that. Was a good film.
I haven't seen that.
Would it be good now?
I bet it's not aged well. I haven't seen it since like 1998.
Nah, it came out. Like, we would have been, what, like 13 something? Mm. 12, 13 something?
Yeah.
I was slightly too old for it. It's too kiddie.
It was so popular, though.
I know, yeah.
And it was Cameron Diaz's breakout film.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Jim Carrey, around that time, did, what's it called, Ace Ventura, which is very funny.
Cable
Dumb
Guy.
And Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Oh,
Cable,
God, guys Cable
un- Guy. Cable Guy's underrated.
That. I haven't seen that.
I don't think I've seen
people
that.
People didn't like it because it's a bit darker, but it's good.
I like Truman Show.
Truman Show's really
That's
good.
That's a brilliant
You
film.
Love that film, don't you?
Yeah, you don't never want to watch it for some reason.
It's boring.
It's not boring.
I honestly find it so boring.
But the more you watch it, the more you see, because there's little things in the background and like, oh, it's very clever. Anyway.
I just don't want to think about things.
No, fair enough.
Sometimes I want to watch like maths.
So let's move on from Sarah and Tim to Tori and Jack. And I don't think the experts have given up, but they were a little bit more friendly towards them because they're like, well, we've tried everything else. And like, they're still here. And so then they were like, Lauren, what do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what Lauren said, I was like, what is she going to say here? Because she has to be so careful. And I think John said, what is it that you see? Mm. And she said, it's what I don't see, which was an interesting answer. And I thought she was going to say, it's what I don't see from Jack. But actually, she said, it's what I don't see from Tori.
Right.
She was like, I don't see Tori standing up to him. I don't see Tori like,
showing
calling
any emotion
him out.
About the things he's done.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same thing again, isn't it? Of Tory saying, "I wish people would trust my judgment."
Yeah. But you can't trust someone's judgment if they're making a very obvious mistake. So it's like, we don't think you're a stupid person, but we do think you're making a huge mistake.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, she's had said a few times, like, you've got to trust my intelligence. What if it's like, well, no, because you're making a very obvious error. Yeah. So like, I don't know, if someone's like stepping out into a road of traffic. Yeah. You're like, I'm a clever person, just let me be. You're like, there's a car coming.
Like, you've missed. We can all see it apart from you. Yeah.
It's like that jogger this morning. That gave us a shock.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
This jogger just appeared from between two parked cars as we were driving, and then she kind of stopped herself. And we're like, what?
Yikes.
Yeah. Very Watch true. Out, Tori.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they got into the whole thing about her saying she wouldn't see anyone from the experiment. She seemed sort of slightly regretful of that, because she started off saying, I said it with a lot of gusto, and you know, by that point I couldn't take anymore. She seemed a bit remorseful.
I was glad she showed a bit of emotion about that.
Yeah.
But that was them trying to show that she'd isolated herself.
Mm.
And according to like the playbook of like toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And it didn't really land with her in the way it should have.
Well, all the group were showing their support still, even though she'd said that. They were all like, we've got you back and all this.
Yeah. So actually, was that a really good manoeuvre by the experts? So rather than laying into her like they have done in previous weeks.
They've just tried everything, haven't they?
They're now trying to communicate to her, look, you're not as isolated as you might want to think you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least you're not on your own type of thing.
Their little session started with them saying that they'd had sex, which, I mean, it's, again, it just sounded like, wrote things that they'd say, oh, it was like a sharing of souls and all this. It's like, was it? It's like, because it's gone down from 15 minutes to 10 to 8 to like, to a wind like, emoji.
Oh, yeah. The wind emoji is their souls combining.
I think that's a stretch.
It's the spirit world.
Madeline.
It's a gateway.
Well, yeah, they still had more to say, though. Well, obviously, Tory. They kept cutting to Tory, because then it was Jono and Lauren.
Okay, I have a point to raise with Jono and Lauren. Mm-hmm. When they were called to the couch, they said, right, the last couple on the couch, Jono and Lauren. If nobody knew, other than Tory, about that he'd been messaging Ellie, why are Jono and Lauren interesting enough to be the last couple on the couch?
Well, because the producers knew.
That's what I mean.
Because Tori had said to camera earlier, hadn't she?
Yeah.
I've got some information. I feel euphoric about it.
Okay. So they
know. I think that's why they were planned last.
And also, has Tori been told to bring it up at the commitment ceremony? Because I was like, you don't put Jono and Lauren last when you don't think there's anything going on. Well, you must know.
Well, okay, yeah, the timing of the information was interesting, because she didn't get it in time to bring it up at the dinner party.
The previous
literally
week.
The night before.
Yeah.
She did get it in time to bring it up at the commitment ceremony, so she must have just got it that morning.
She said I've been apprised of some information.
Which is
today.
Why it can't be Jack. It can't be today. Jack. It can't be Jack talking about the gym, because that would have been ongoing.
No, that's I think true. She just brought message. That up at the dinner party as like a reinforcing thing against
I think
Jono.
She's had a text from Ellie or Ellie's friend or producer.
Somebody else from the experiment.
Well, head of Channel 4.
Yeah.
You postulated that it could be that...
Postulated?
I didn't want to keep saying...
I didn't use that word.
I'm just postulating over here.
I find it easily speculating a lot, so I try to...
I hypothesise.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to make ourselves very unrelatable. We're too intelligent for people to listen. We want
that's a lot of big words today.
That's like, all right, Tory.
We are top of the pecking order, and we want to make ourselves more relatable.
Well, you said that maybe, what was it, Ellie had actually messaged Tori.
Yeah.
And just in chatting saying, oh, Jono said that as well.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Oh, you messaged Jono as well.
Yeah, Tori I wonder be friends if it's with something Ellie? Like that.
But they were early days, that group of four were then sort of talking to Ellie a lot about what was going on with her.
Sort of supporting.
And I guess we don't know the strength of friendships, because we don't see everything that happens in Sky Suites. And I guess if your room is next door to someone else's room, you might see way more of them than we, like having takeaways together, going to the gym together.
Well, you know, this is why, and obviously... Jono has done wrong here, so I'm not trying to defend him, but I'm just saying the practicalities of it. Like when Alessandra is going to Jono, is it your responsibility to keep her updated? It's like, it's not my responsibility, but there's only fucking 16 of us here in this fairly unique situation.
Well, should we talk about this? Because I think he could have had a get out if he'd been talking about his wife in any of the messages.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I had this conversation with Johnny about, like, if Johnny told me, like, oh, I've been chatting to another mum from the school gates, like one of my friends, and I saw, I don't know, it's a weird one. I wouldn't have a problem with it if he told me straight away, because, like, Johnny has female friends, and that's a healthy thing to do. And if he was like, oh, and I was telling her about what we got up to, and I'd be like, oh, I'm part of the conversation.
Yeah.
If I discovered weeks in that there were hundreds of messages and I'd not been mentioned, even if they weren't flirty, because I don't think Jono and Ellie's messages were particularly, like, flirtatious.
Yeah, that's why I was happy to show her the phone.
But the element of, like, you're putting in the legwork to make this something that's a potential relationship, because you're spending so much time talking to this girl and not mentioning your current wife.
Yeah. Well, this is because we had the similar discussion.
We're like, where are the boundaries of our own marriage?
Well, because I mentioned in our last episode that I had a mate message. I was talking about how I'm not very good at responding to messages anymore.
Unless it's a hot girl.
Well, this is
then I'm sending hundreds.
The message that I used as an example that I've not replied to was from a friend of mine who is a female friend.
Who is hot?
She's an attractive woman, yeah.
Bastard.
But that's the other
Does
thing
she know
is,
you're married?
No, but this is it. She's our friend now, really, isn't she? Yeah. It's like, and
I barely know her. No.
But it's that thing, isn't it? It wasn't like it's not a big thing to say, oh, X person messaged me and we're talking about
it. It's really healthy if you have a relationship where you know that you can be friends with the opposite sex because you have an open, honest relationship where you talk about who you've spoken to, and it's keeping something secret, and it's not bringing your partner into the conversation at all. Like if Jono had 10 messages with Ellie and he didn't mention Lauren Fine, but in hundreds of messages Lauren would come up, because obviously Ellie's asking about the dinner parties, about the experiment.
But,
I mean, it's a bit of an omission to not mention Lauren
massively.
Well, the whole birthday message is
quite flirty.
Exactly.
Where were you when I needed free Botox?
Exactly. But by itself, it's not like they haven't had sex. That message is very low down the scale, but everyone fucking knows.
Where were you?
Yeah.
So flirty.
It's flirty. It's light flirting. It's like the beginnings
very light.
Of...
Do you know where I got the ick? Where he went... Well, they were. I think they were asking her, like, why have you been messaging her? And he went, she's funny. And I was like, these are the driest two people in the whole experiment. Why are there all these laughing emojis? Why do they find each other funny?
Funny how?
Lauren's funny.
Yeah.
What is he getting
doing,
from...
Are you doing a Joe Pesci? How am I funny? Funny how?
Funny how? Why?
What? Wasn't, but okay.
You know, there's like a hat for every head and all that sort of thing. Like, is Ellie his perfect match because they find each other funny?
Yeah.
What are they talking about? And why is he... Why is he ignoring Lauren? I'm not being mean to Ellie, but I didn't see anything in Ellie that I would find interesting.
Yeah, no. But you can see why there would be an interest, a good match. You can see why
there
they would be attracted to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And he said it would be easier if he'd been put with her.
No, well, he said it'd be easier if I was put with anyone else.
Lauren.
I mean, that was so hard.
So there's so many elements
that
to this.
That was horrible.
There's so many elements to this that removes Jono's like ability to have a leg to stand on, because he's just slept with Lauren on the home stays. If they'd only had sex on that first night and the relationship had sort of been petering out, you'd be like, oh, so he's looking elsewhere. I mean, gross, but fair enough, whatever. But Lauren thought they were going really well.
I know.
And she was in hospital while he was messaging Ellie. They were having like a mini break while he was messaging Ellie.
Yeah.
They were working on their own relationship.
They were talking about what they're going to do in the future.
Well, hang on, because before we get too much, because this is dinner party
episode.
Sorry.
It's okay, I just think we're...
On the sofa, he pretended Ellie had messaged him.
I know.
Her.
Yes.
Ellie reached out to me.
Well.
Lies.
He didn't say that.
He did?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He did, because I've seen this twice.
What were you going to say?
I've seen this bit twice.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
Well, because I remember, I thought Lauren at one point said she just made that assumption and he didn't correct
No, I think he said it. I think I remember him saying, like, oh, she reached out to me and I've been talking to everyone who's like... And, like, to be fair to him, if his relationship had been really innocent with Ellie, like, if it had been fewer messages and he had equal number of messages with Stephen, Michael, Ellie... Everyone, Cassandra.
But this is it, though. He only mentioned
boys,
men.
Boys, I know.
He mentioned Tristan, Stephen, Michael.
That's why I said, that's why I said Cassandra. I know. Yeah. If it had been a real mix, you'd be like, well, you have seemed like you fancy Ellie before, but the messages aren't that flirtatious. You've messaged her 50 times, you've messaged everyone else 50 times. Yeah. It was the disparity of, like, the number of messages.
Well, this is it. I used Cassie as an example. Because I said to you, if Tori had said, you've been messaging Cassandra... I don't think people would have had anywhere near the same reaction.
No.
Because there were, you wouldn't necessarily pick up on a vibe between them two. But I think because
we've
it was Ellie,
the vibe. We've seen
people
the vibe.
Have picked up on that probably, even if they hadn't explicitly kind of clocked it. So then it was a massive deal that it was Ellie. But if it had been Cassandra, or I can't think of another female that left, I don't think it would have been the same.
You'd be like, oh, that's quite sweet. Do you know what was pissing me off? At the commitment ceremony, we saw Lucinda ultimately rejected, and we saw Lauren being rejected. And I was like, these are two of the best women I've ever seen on TV. Lucinda and Lauren, gorgeous, funny, intelligent, giving, like forgiving, all these things. And I'm like, why are these women being rejected?
Yeah.
They're going to end up thinking they've done something wrong. They've done nothing wrong.
Well, it was sad to see Lauren. Lauren so upset. Because especially... In previous dinner parties, especially that one with the whole muzzle your woman comment, I've applauded her for which she would have been within her rights to start crying and storm out.
Yeah, she's
been
very...
But she held it together and just like went toe to toe with Jack and beat him all ends up.
Yeah.
But to actually see her crying in that situation was sad.
Because she does really have a bit of bravado about her.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, it's one of the things we love about her, that she's so funny and she's able to, like, water off a duck's back. Seeing her genuinely hurt, I'm like, she actually must have had feelings for Jono.
Yeah.
Which makes it so much worse.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And we did see them at their homestay, you know, cooking together, being quite flirty and, like, I don't know.
It's the whole thing is in that area of where kind of circumstantial evidence. There's nothing definitive, but everyone knows what's going on. This is why John said, when Jono had said, there's nothing there, it's so innocent, it didn't even cross my mind. And John interrupted him, was like, no, I'm not getting that. Every woman cringed.
Because
a poll I did, I've not mentioned a poll for a while.
Not a poll for a while.
Poll free.
Is texting, like Tori, is texting so...
Vitamin D.
is texting someone of the opposite sex every 3 to 4 days automatically suspicious? 66% said yes. 34% said no.
I think,
again, obviously, it depends on
the
individual.
It's so circumstantial. And it depends on, like, do you have a working relationship? Because I've had, like, a work husband before. And I've got on really well with him. And I've been married to Johnny. And the work husband has been... a lovely guy, attractive, like whatever, but I haven't fancied him. And my relationship with Johnny and him has been linked, where I've talked about them both to each other. And like I've involved them, but it's not like I had a secret relationship. And we would text and we were really close at work, but there was nothing to be threatened by, because it's like I'd talk about Johnny to him. I didn't like never mention my husband. Do you know what I mean? That would be weird.
Yeah.
You can have, obviously we know this, we're grown adults, you can have relationships with the opposite sex. It's how you involve your partner and have them not feel part of it.
Well, it's like there's girls from my work who came to our live event, and I was like, oh fuck's sake, because
finish your sentence.
Do they listen?
No, well, it's because I spend a lot of my time at work slagging you off. I don't want, ideally, the two worlds collide.
Yeah. I so wish I'd spent more time talking to them at the live event.
They're like, oh, this is the wife that you hate.
It's my chance to vent.
Well, they can message me on Instagram and let me know what's going on.
It's just, it's nuanced, isn't it? Because for some people who are a little bit more trustworthy, and I don't know, there's just so many layers to it. There were too many messages.
Yep.
He said before that he thinks Ellie's attractive.
Yeah.
He kept it all a secret from Lauren. He was sleeping with Lauren.
Yeah.
And he also was so dismissive of her feelings. He was like, oh, it's innocent, it's fine. He never actually took a responsibility for it.
No.
So if he'd done one of those things right, he might have had more of a fighting chance. But he did all of them wrong.
Yes.
I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, dinner party, can I start with the fashion? Because I actually thought it was off.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Ooh. If you agree with me.
Who did you think was off?
A few people.
Go on then.
So I thought Sarah, let's call her Sarah. I thought Sarah looked like she looked like she was going to prom. She was wearing a shiny blue dress.
Oh, with like the shell.
Yeah, she's always stunning, but I didn't like her hair and makeup. Her makeup was quite severe. I didn't love her dress. And then Lauren, the wet look hair can look cool.
Oh, you like that.
How do you do the wet look hair?
You just use like
gel.
You can use gel, but there's also like wet look hair, like there's special.
There is, I would not even attempt that.
No.
I've got too much hair.
And like, I understand it's high fashion. I understand it can look cool, but I didn't think it worked. And so I was distracted by her wet look hair the entire episode.
Oh.
And I was distracted by the fact Sarah looked like she was going to prom the entire episode. And then I can't remember what other people were wearing.
I wasn't a fan of Jade's.
No, me neither. Me neither.
What was
Jade's? That was a bit off.
It was that pale blue, very bustier.
Yeah.
I mean,
high slits.
Tits McGee, too. Like proper boob forward. Like Jade is gorgeous.
It was super flattering.
But I'd love to see her dressed.
Like the style of it.
But I'd love to see her dressed by a stylist because I think she could look incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought the fashion was off.
Tori had quite a bit of makeup on for a change, though, and she said, "Oh, I might even do a red lip."
Yeah,
which
I liked,
she did.
She looked quite almost like Marilyn Monroe with her like red. I mean, this is like when people comment on the Olympics and they're sat on their sofa eating like a McDonald's. I'm commenting on this and I do not have any high fashion items, but I just love the outfits, especially with Maths Australia.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed to have an opinion though, aren't you?
Yeah, but
I mean, this is what the whole thing is.
I'm glad this is not a visual
but
medium.
If anyone does know where Lauren got those earrings from,
yeah, those earrings,
please
were
let us know.
Oh yeah, you said
I'm
to
obsessed
me like,
with those earrings.
Those giant like gilded hoops.
Yes.
Yeah, they were.
But they were like thick at the bottom and fine at the top. And
yeah, you said to me,
yeah,
take a mental image of them because if you see them I have to buy them.
I want them.
They were beautiful. Actually, that would be maths in like a couple of years. I bet you can click and you can buy like what they're wearing.
Well, when it's done, I bet if you go on Lauren's Instagram, I bet you'll be able to find.
We're living in the future.
Ooh.
Yes. Can we talk about the couples?
Yeah.
I want to start. I mean, essentially the whole thing was about Jono and Ellie, really, slash Lauren. And they started again in Sky Suites and Jack was saying, he fucked up, he got caught. And I don't think him getting caught wasn't this big mistake about it.
Well,
Jack.
In Jack's world it was.
Yeah. And also, like, Jack and Tori are absolutely giddy that Jono's under fire. Because they think he, like, is disloyal from week three or whatever it was. And they're just, the absolute cock-a-hoop that
it's not them for once.
It's really horrible that, like, Lauren has tried to support Tori, and Tori is euphoric that Lauren's been hurt.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, but the more it goes on, I think Jack and Tori do sort of deserve each other. And actually, maybe they're a match made in heaven because they're both not very nice.
Yeah. And for a change, at the cocktail party, she actually sat with Lauren. And I don't know if it was Sarah, I can't remember who it was.
Quite two-faced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, relishing everything that Lauren was saying about the messages she'd read.
Yeah.
And, you know, for once she'd parted from Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to hear all of this, like, gossip and drama about these messages.
I do sort of wonder whether Jack has brought out more of a cruel side of her.
Mm.
And if we'd seen Tori with a different groom, you know, one that we haven't even met, would it have brought out a nicer side of her? Because I do think Tori has moments where she can be quite funny, but she can be quite insightful.
Yeah.
Haven't seen loads of kindness, but like obviously her relationship with Lauren was good at the beginning until she was like isolated from the group. But the more
Tori shows of herself that it's just not very nice stuff.
No.
Like pulling away from everyone and wanting Lauren to be hurt.
Yeah, I mean, the bare facts of it, of her bringing up this information, it's good that she brought it up, but it's her manner and the glee she takes
in it.
It's
the being gleeful about it,
One of the... She was so many faces. I think this was at the commitment ceremony as she was about to bring it up. I did a tweet saying, Google, show me malevolence.
Yeah, she was so excited.
I think a distinctive turning point between the commitment ceremony and the dinner party was Jono's attitude.
He seems to have come back with,
because he says
that
she's found a way to weaponize some perfectly innocent text messages. Yeah. I've done nothing but be loyal and try to defend Lauren. Even when Jack was
calling her,
and you didn't back her up at all.
It was weird. He suddenly
was really
doubling down on the innocence of. I mean, he did show her the texts. I think in his head, I think for Jono, he's actually being really simple. And he's like, I've not sent a dick pic, so I've done nothing wrong. I really think he thinks, I'm allowed to have friends. I'm allowed to message Ellie.
Yeah.
I haven't asked her to be my girlfriend, so why is Lauren upset? Oh, Lauren's making out I'm some sort of horrible guy. Like, I genuinely think he's being really simplistic and thinking, I've not cheated physically. I've not sent any photos.
Yeah.
What's Lauren's problem?
Yeah. So then he's just like proper digging his heels in the position that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's the one to blame.
Yeah.
And she's making a drama out of it.
Well, it's what you said earlier about him, the whole nice guy persona thing. It's like people who use that then use that as a weapon.
Yeah.
Or as a shield to say, well, it can't be. What me? But I'm a nice guy.
I think it's a real head fuck for Lauren, bless her.
Yeah.
Because she was really making an effort. I mean, she struggled a bit at the beginning, but she was really making an effort to go for a different sort of guy. And she, what did she say? Sometimes like she runs towards red flags and stuff. And then Jono has presented himself as this calm, nice guy. And it is upsetting that then he's like, let her down. What's she going to learn from this program? To go back for her usual type and avoid...
Or to question even more people
everybody
who seem nice because are they really?
Yeah.
Another example of Jono's new attitude was when he arrived. He did not want to say hello to her or acknowledge her. She walked off to go to the bar, which I think she did slightly prematurely.
She did it prematurely almost to be like, well, I don't want to be last.
Yeah.
And like, if I remove myself, decision made, it's awkward waiting. But he either needed to go to her first. Or at least second or third.
I can understand when you walk into the room, there are people who are just physically closer to you. So you can't just walk past them and go straight to Lauren necessarily.
Yeah.
But you should make it clear that you're like, look at her, say, I'm coming, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. You could at least make some eye contact and, you know, acknowledge that person and then get to them.
By comparison, when Timothy and Lucinda went in at the previous dinner party by themselves, Lucinda was closest to the door, so it was easier. Mm-hmm. But I also think if she was furthest from the door, she would have got up and walked towards him.
Jogged over. That's what's been really interesting about this season. We've had these older contestants, and Jono is now 40. Mm-hmm. Let's call him like one of the older contestants. He's crossed into our land. There's still so much emotional immaturity from them. And you're like, this is the first season where we're seeing how do people act in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s in relationships. It's not necessarily any better than the kids in their 20s.
Yeah.
There's still games. There's still awkwardness. There's still like a complete lack of understanding about how your actions affect other people.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw lack of empathy.
We saw it with Richie. We've seen it with Timothy. We're now seeing it with Jono.
And a lack of true honesty. Like he brought up that the one thing I want to say from the off, now that we're on the topic, because they did the honesty box thing, didn't they?
Oh no, the first thing they did was let's toast.
Let's do a toast
to like the moments
that we enjoyed
or something. I don't know.
Jono texting Ellie.
The second thing that was said. And he said, now we're on the topic.
Yeah.
I want to say that I got in touch with Ellie. She didn't get in touch with me, but it was totally innocent. It's like you're just trying to get ahead of. You know, because now Lauren's seen it. She's seen it on your phone. Who texted first?
Yeah.
But just be honest, like this whole, do you have feelings for her? It's like Sarah being caught out in the lie. Just lay it all out on the table now.
Mm.
Rip the plaster off. just say, you know what, yeah, I do
and also he's basically decided he doesn't want to be with Lauren because in his head Lauren's now the enemy.
Yeah.
So I was saying this to Johnny, it's like he needs to pick a side and go full in, because if he ever wanted to be with Ellie in the future, he doesn't want to be on film going, oh no, I don't find her attractive,
yeah, there's nothing there,
she messaged me, yeah, oh no, she's not for me, she's not my type. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, no, if you've decided Lauren's not for you, you almost need to announce that you fancy Ellie,
yeah, mm-hmm,
and have a fighting chance in that corner, because it's like you're going to just end up annoying both of them.
Yeah, but it's like he's just still wanted to be the good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He still wanted to be the one in the right, and yeah, Lauren's the dramatic one.
Yeah,
is this, it's just come to mind, if anyone can remember back to the most recent UK series,
mm-hmm,
JJ,
mm-hmm,
when he said he wasn't into Bianca,
mm-hmm,
and he was into Jade, he never
Ella.
Really... Ella, sorry. Ella. He never really said that he wasn't into Ella. And in fact, when it came out at that dinner party, if I remember rightly, Bianca was going, "You're a knobhead." And he was like, "Yeah, yeah." Yeah. He just took it.
He did that.
He ripped the plaster off.
True.
You've either got to go down the road that Jono has gone down, which is a poor choice, in my opinion, or you just say, "Yeah, you know what, I do feel..." It's kind of what Stephen did as well with this hairdresser. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was flirting with that guy because I do feel a spark.
But the problem is that Jono and Lauren are so much further along the process.
True.
Than either of those couples.
True.
Yeah, if we knew Stephen so and Mike had slept down together the line, or like... Or
gone on home stays,
yeah,
talked about their future.
Well, this is the crucial thing that you brought up earlier about that she asked him, "Well, you slept with me on home stays, what's changed between then and..." And he just didn't want to answer that because he was asking her questions from the honesty box, and he was going, "Answer the question."
That was awful.
So dogmatic, like a
It was as if he just hadn't heard her, which we know he had, you know. And then he's just like, "Well, answer the question."
He was shocking.
He was awful.
When he was asking her, when she was answering his questions, it's like, "Do you trust me?" "Nope."
Yeah.
"I think you're a snake."
Yeah. Do I live up to your ideals as a partner? No, absolutely not.
I know. It's so funny when you get to a point where there's no love lost and it's just... Are they just there because they're contractually obliged to turn up to the dinner parties?
Yeah.
Like when I saw Jono in the cab coming to the dinner party, nothing good was going to come from
him.
He's walking into the lion's den.
How do they make them
How
do it?
How do they make them do it contractually? Or does he want to have his point heard?
Yeah.
Does he want more TV time? Is he like, "Oh, a free dinner and some champagne"? Like what propels them?
Or is it because at this point they're part of the group? So they feel like they're part of this like shared experience,
sometimes
community?
The awkwardness is this secondhand awkwardness that you feel even watching it. You're like, you're walking into something like, oh.
But he's chosen to make it that way.
I know. I'm not defending him.
Yeah, it's just, he's like, why has he done that? Why has he decided to go in and be confrontational?
It's really strange when you're watching something, and I think this all the time with like, even if it's like a politician or anything you're watching where an apology is needed, the power of an apology is massive, where you'd actually really respect the person and they always think that it's better to like protect their reputation and double down. If we saw Jono go in and go, "Do you know what? I've actually made a huge mistake here because Lauren, you're such a nice..." The group would support him, I think, a bit more and be like, "Oh, that was good." That I don't understand why people are so scared of apologising sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like the power in it and going like, "I made a mistake." And like you said, laying it all out where there's no surprises.
And then, and then that thing about being a nice guy, you would go, "You know, actually is a nice guy
because he fucked up, but
he owned it."
Yeah.
As they like to say, you know?
100%.
And it's genuine.
And there's ways of saying it where he could be... And I just think there's so many other ways of playing it. And he played it the worst way he possibly could.
Kind of cruel, like you said earlier about the whole... If I'd been matched with anyone, it would have been easier for me. But he also said... that's your opinion, which I don't care about anymore.
No,
so checked out.
Yeah, it was cruel.
Really cruel. Yeah. And we haven't really seen that. We've seen Jono be so wet and boring. And this is the first time we've seen him just be really arsy and horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, bit of personality, but not the nice side.
Yeah.
I thought of a title for this episode, by the way.
Oh, gosh, what is it?
Jonogamy.
Monogamy, Jono. Yeah.
I might have to rethink it.
I was trying to work it out. I'm sure when people see it written down, it'll make sense. What are the other honesty boxes? Because I've got written down that Tori feels infatuation for Jack.
Oh,
right, yeah.
Which explains quite a lot. And we could have guessed that, but that is not a long-lasting relationship sort of affection.
No.
That's like... putting them on a pedestal,
yeah,
thinking they're cool,
yeah,
infatuation.
I know,
for someone who couldn't give two shits, yeah, back.
And Jack, the only way to describe how he feels about her is to say he's proud of her.
I know.
How many times did he say that in that episode?
And the experts cringed, didn't they?
Yeah. So he said it at the commitment ceremony, but then he said it like 4 times in that dinner party episode as well. It's, yeah, like he's just caught himself a phrase, mm-hmm, and connected with it and thought, I'll just say that. I'll just say that.
But also, I think he is proud of her because sometimes, well, in his own way, because sometimes there's been like, she's too dominant. Oh, but I'm proud because she's played the passive role. Mm. And supported me and had my back. And
yeah,
like, she knows that we're not equals. I'm superior.
Yeah.
So they're proud of her for, yeah, accepting,
exactly,
that I'm better.
That's what it feels. So their honesty box questions must have been like, describe your feelings.
I think they all had that same question.
Yeah.
Are you,
how do you feel about me,
well,
now? Describe your feelings. Right. They all had that same question. Yeah. I, yeah, think.
Was there anything juicy that came out of the honesty boxes?
Not, I didn't really feel, I don't think so.
I didn't feel like there was.
I think the,
no, not massively.
You mentioned that when they first came in, because they were the first in.
Yeah.
That would have been a novelty for them.
Yeah, they were like, oh, first in.
Yeah, and I think that's because maybe they figured out it's just too awkward when they come in later. So let's just put them in first.
Well, they read it as...
people can join them.
They read it as they were doing the best and didn't need any, like, God, drama. Yeah. So I think most people would have spotted this, and like, I don't know what to read into it, but at one point Tori was like, I think they'd finished in their honesty boxes,
yeah,
and we heard Tori say, and I love that there's subtitles, Tori just turned to him and went, kiss me, just fake it.
Yeah.
To Jack.
I know.
And do we read into that?
I think so. Would you ever say that? Would you ever say that to someone you're in a relationship with?
No. I was just going to say, like, if there's a circumstantial thing, like maybe he had a mouthful of food or something. I don't know.
Very circumstantial. Yeah. The thing I'm thinking of is, you know, when, to roll back loads, when Lucinda and Timothy went into that awkward family meeting and they'd had an argument,
mm,
and you wanted them to have like a united front.
Right.
You might have been like, hold my hand. Let's just pretend everything's fine for now.
Yeah.
That's the... I'm just trying to think of a scenario where...
it didn't follow...
No.
What
something
happened?
Something awkward, did it?
I know.
It didn't follow an argument, a disagreement, something stupid Jack had said.
No.
It didn't follow any of that.
It was just
it followed
like,
them
pretend.
Saying things are amazing and we've got sexual spark or whatever.
Kiss me, just
fake. And why did he have to rate the sexual spark?
Did you notice that? Was he asked to in the...
I think it was during the honesty box. Do you have... sexual,
oh, yeah,
feelings
because he was going at this
whatever.
Point it was 6,
yeah,
and then it was 8.
He like went through the weeks describing it and now it's a 9.5,
and then she,
yeah,
wore a push-up bra and it was a 10.
Yeah. Oh, it's God. Never a 10. 9.5.
No, when she accepted his dominance then it was 9.5.
Oh.
Do we think on a level that Tori and Jack have just been trying to win a competition?
Oh yeah.
And faking it is just part of their sort of routine. And, yeah, she accepts all his shitty behaviour because she wants to stay in the game. Is that like, is that what we were being shown with
and
that?
And that was a second of like the
it was a glitch
dropped.
But it was a little glitch where you,
yeah,
weren't supposed to. It's a,
yeah,
Truman,
yeah, yeah,
Show moment where you see the same bike gone round twice.
All right, so we're going into Final Vows, which, you know, if you've watched Married at First Sight before, those episodes are not so exciting.
They drag.
But
yeah.
But we... Predictions?
RuPaul's Drag Show.
Should we do some predictions?
Predictions.
Part of me expects Jack to fully reject her.
Ooh.
I said this before, like 90%.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
90%,
yeah.
I think he'll say yes. There's 10% of me that's like, why would he want a long-distance girlfriend,
yeah,
when he wants to be single? Why would he encourage her to move to his flat when he doesn't want a woman,
yeah,
there?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he want to give up his training time?
Yeah.
And if he says yes at Final Vows, he's committing to them trying to make it work.
Well, is he?
Or
though?
Is he?
Or is he just, let's say yes, because we're on camera
on
and we
camera.
Can be a success story and,
yeah,
then, you know,
yeah,
whatever
happens. There has to be
deal
a period
with the fallout
of it.
Later.
Yeah,
Eden
there has
and
to
Jayden,
be a period of it being long distance,
yeah,
so he can,
yeah,
bin her off in that time.
Exactly. Eden and Jayden will both say yes.
Yeah.
I believe Sarah and Tim will both say yes. Because,
yeah,
Tim feels like he's got his, like, perfect girlfriend,
yeah,
now.
Mm.
Who else is there?
Jayden Ridge.
Jayden Ridge should hopefully say yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jack and Tori's the only one where I think that they'll miss.
Oh, well, there's Lauren and Jenna.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, this is what
I mean. I think we all know what they're going to,
well,
say.
Well, this is what I mean about being contractually obliged. You know, we see in the... pre-edit, what do you call it? Like this, I was going to call it the preamble. We see them coming down in their like wedding clothes, but just to tell each other they hate each other.
Yeah,
like, what's the point?
I know.
Yeah,
but maybe so she can wear an amazing outfit and tell them how shit he is.
I think this year in particular, I can't remember who was in Final Vows last year. It was like Ollie and Tani, was that last year?
Oh, yeah.
Harrison and Bronte, were they?
Did they do Final Vows?
I can't remember.
The big thing at Final Vows last year was Lyndall and
Lyndall and Cam.
Where she just said, I don't want to hear it. And then he like... spat his dummy out.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But I just don't think there's going to be anything. Like, I think you're right that Jono and Lauren is just going to be them.
Car crash.
Yeah. But they both know that that's what's going to happen. Yeah. I think this is going to be really predictable.
Basically, at this point, everybody's just waiting for reunion dinner party, reunion commitment ceremony.
Yeah, that's and trying to avoid spoilers on your algorithm.
No.
That's all you can do at this point because we're so near to the end of just
try
seeing,
your best.
Yeah. Who's actually still together?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You mentioned that it had been spoiled for you. I think I'd seen a lot of people on Twitter when I did the first tweet about Jono texting Ellie saying a lot of people were saying, yeah, I'd seen this come out.
It's so annoying.
They need better like embargoes on random.
Well, there's no way around it unless they just air it here at the same time. But again, I think
it
comes back to the problem of. E4 want to put it on pre-Watershed. So I think the reason there's a month delay, which is a weird amount of time, is they probably need the month to re-edit.
Take out all the sweat. And the golden shower references.
Also the sponsorships.
So that's probably why it's a month delay. It just occurred to me the other day.
All we can really do is move to Australia. Should we do that? I'd love that.
Yeah.
Should we put our budget towards moving to Australia?
We might have to set up a Patreon. So if you want to fund our new lives in Australia,
it'll be a better podcast.
We need more.
Right. Well, we're talking so much about Final Vows. Let's wrap up because then we will actually talk about Final Vows on Friday.
So until Friday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Kellen Abid.
Oh, just got another message from this female friend.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.